I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live. It's only just a matter of. Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, today we've got a replay for you, and it feels like an important one. I've asked the producers if they would replay this one. I'm at my father-in-law's funeral today, and I wanted you to hear this show. Once in a while, I feel like God just gives me something to say. Instead of booking a guest, I decide to take on the role of guest and host. And so in this particular show, I'm talking about what I believe is the coming revival and just differing opinions around that, just the thoughts that I have around that. Also, I'm going to play a few songs that just give you a moment to breathe and pray and soak it all in, and I love to pray for you as well. I want you to know, some of you maybe heard or didn't hear about my new recent miraculous journey of healing. It's coming in stages, but God has sought me out. I can't thank you enough for your prayers. So many of you have prayed. And so you're going to hear the story in different parts. One of them, if you have not heard my interview with Melissa Coleman yet on Mercy Prayers, you have got to listen to it. We had a huge response from that show. So the way to find that, either go to your podcast player and search Susie Larson, find my show and just scroll through, or maybe search out Melissa Coleman. You'll find it that way. Or you can go to our website, myfaithradio.com, and search Melissa Coleman, and that show will come up. It is a must listen because it is just profound how closely linked our physiological health is to the trauma that we endure, to the things that we walk through, and even to the unforgiveness that we might be holding in our hearts. In my situation, I wasn't harboring unforgiveness. I had counseled through and forgiven the boys that hurt me when I was young, but my body was holding on to trauma, that and other things, and my body was stuck in a fight-flight process, and God just ambushed me recently with a number of women who just, all separate from each other, kind of came together and said, we feel called to march you to freedom, to pray with you, walk with you, talk with you, until you're free. So Melissa was one such woman. Coming up in the days ahead, I have a surgery coming up around Lyme disease that I'm going to do. We feel like we're supposed to do it. And so two of the shows that you'll hear that week will be with Kevin and I. One, I'm going to interview him on what it's like to be married to someone who's battled chronic illness. And he's just going to be super honest about the hardships, the highs, the lows, the wisdom that he's gleaned with pressing into God and trusting the Lord. And then the second show will be me telling this phenomenal story. It takes too long. You can't share it in a few minutes, of just the miraculous ways God has moved to really move me to a place of freedom. And I share it because I always say one testimony begets another testimony. If he can do it for me, he can do it for you. And I want to reference one other show that I think will be super helpful if you're somebody who's walking through a hard time. If you'd search for my interview with Dan Allender, that was one. I mean, I've been in radio almost 16 years, and that's one interview I am still thinking about. And I'm just going to give you a quick highlight of something he'd said is, you know, everybody has trauma of some kind. Everybody has things in their life that happened that shouldn't have happened, things that didn't happen for you that should have happened. Both of those are traumas. And there's the micro trauma and the macro trauma. And sometimes little traumas, little things happen, little slights, or somebody doesn't invite you and you suddenly find out you're left out and it triggers a deep response. If that is the case, it's because there's a very unhealed trauma in you that's bigger than that little thing would suggest. And he says that they've learned through their expertise of treating so many people and helping them recover from trauma, that trauma tends to land in three archetypes. One is the orphan, one is the stranger, and one's the widow. The orphan is the person who's had to fend for themselves in those early years especially. And he said they're often CFOs and CEOs running companies and highly capable, but they're exhausted because they're striving and straining, and what they need is rest and care. And he said a healed orphan becomes a priest. They become a person who seeks out other orphans, helps them heal, and really helps to shepherd people. The stranger is the person who's always felt like they're on the outside of power, where they don't have the rights and the privileges that maybe those on the inside of the circle have. But the thing is, when a stranger gets healed, because he said one thing they often deal with is jealousy, anger, resentment. But once they're healed, they become a prophet. They become a person who speaks in to situations with a clarity that others on the, quote, inside don't always understand or see. And then the widow is the person who's had a lot of loss. And when they're healed, they're identified with royal love, where all they know themselves by is the fact that there's someone God loves. Isn't that beautiful? You've got to hear that show. It is life-changing. If you go on My Faith Radio, you can search Dan Allender and you'll find it there. So now you're going to hear my thoughts. My sense is I've spent a lot of time praying and listening. I'm not saying, thus saith the Lord, not saying I speak on behalf of God, but I'm just saying my sense is that a great outpouring is coming. In fact, it indeed has already started to come. Okay, so here's one of the things that are on my heart. So we were out to dinner over at some friend's house, Peter and Beth, and we've had Peter on the show actually before. Peter Rexted is his name, and he was on about talking about generosity. And he so humbly and kindly says, you know, Susie, you talk about revival coming, and I'm paraphrasing. And Peter, if you're listening and I don't say this right, text in and tell me I got it wrong. But what I remember you saying, something to the effect of, you sound kind of optimistic in a way that it doesn't totally resonate, where he was sensing that the times ahead are going to be pretty tough. And what he was hearing from me was sort of an optimism that didn't seem to fit the times. And I said, oh, wow, really? Because that's not how I feel. I mean, I have a certain measure of optimism, but I have a sobriety about the times we're in as well. Now, just to give you a little peek behind the scenes, when I'm in studio, I've got a call screen up, I've got the text screen up, and I've got a chat box up with my producers, and I always have a guest in my ear. So I'm trying to manage all those things at once. So it would be so easy to hear me out of context or for me to speak and say something while I'm thinking in a paragraph and maybe I say a sentence. So that's just a reality. That's why I think it's always so good not to take people in media too out of context, especially if you're a talk show host, because there's so much going on behind the scenes. But I will say how I feel about the revival that I believe is coming and the outpouring that I believe is coming is, I think I've said this on the air before in the past, that it's not like a tent revival like you've seen in the past. This is my sense. I'm not a Bible scholar. I just am someone who follows the Lord. I spend time in His Word and I listen for His voice. And I, like you, we hear in part, know in part, and see in part, but He does confide in those who fear Him. And as we're leaning in, He does reveal things to us. So this is my sense as best as I can understand it. I have a sense that a great outpouring is coming, but not in a way that means we're going to go back to something, go back to comforts where we are not engaging our faith, going back to naivety. We've crossed over something. Something has shifted in the atmosphere. I don't know if you feel that, but I sure do. And if you just look at the masses, just look at our entertainment. I mean, the hearts of people have wandered and drifted far from God. And it is even amazing to me, people who would call themselves Christian leaders who've departed from biblical Christianity. I mean, that is the time that we're in, isn't it? And so, you know, I have a sobriety about the times that we're in. And yet, I have a sense so strongly, it's like I see it in my spirit, like a wave of outpouring coming. I believe it with everything in me. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but I think I'm right about this. I believe prodigals are going to come home and be some of the most amazing evangelists. Some of you brokenhearted parents, God has heard your cry. I believe it. I believe prodigals are coming home, and spouses who've maybe abandoned their marriage are going to have an about face and go, what was I thinking? And reengage with their marriage. And these marriages are going to be just kind of pillars in their community. I believe that, you know, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord raises up a standard against him. And every time the devil makes a move, God already has a plan. And as Faith Radio, as a team, and as many of you are joining us, we're reading through the book of Acts. And I think what we're seeing in Acts is a lot like what I believe we're going to see in the days ahead. Because if you notice, the more that the church was oppressed and persecuted, the more you saw signs and wonders and power. And I think as the church was persecuted, the fear of man was pushed out of God's servants, where they stopped fearing man and they only feared God. And, you know, we've been so comfortable in the West. We have. I love that we were so blessed to be born into this nation, or to at least, you know, for those who weren't born here but moved here and have had a really an amazing life. This is an incredible country, and a lot of, you know, we have listeners from all over the world. And what I'm saying though is, we sometimes confuse God's blessing for comfort. And you know what? It's just not, they don't always equate, you know? I mean, our persecuted brothers and sisters are not comfortable, but they're turning the world upside down, just like the disciples turned the world upside down. All of that to say is, you know, as we look around, what is being shaken, what can be shaken is being shaken, but that which cannot be shaken is being clearly seen. And this is God's kingdom story that he's writing, and it's for his glory, and we are the benefactors. So I think revival is coming, but I don't want it to be this pie-in-the-sky optimism that it's the kind of thing that happens where people are going to change their minds about God so we can sit on the couch of ease and go, whew, I'm glad that's all over. We are in a different day. I feel like we've crossed over into something different and new, and you know, the day, the end times as we know it, we're closer now than ever before. So how we live here now matters deeply and profoundly. So I want to talk in a little bit here about how what I think that we maybe need to do to prepare, because it's going to cost us, I believe, in the days ahead. We may suffer for our faith in the days ahead. Likely we will. But it's still true that those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will rise up with wings as eagles. You know what? They'll run and not get weary. They will walk and not faint. And this is why I think it's so important that we walk that narrow path of faith. And I'll talk about this more on the other side of the break, but to kind of cut out the distractions, to quit getting entangled in arguments that exhaust us. You know, I want to talk about how do we fix our eyes? How do we set our face like flint? But how do we hold fast to the reality that God's promises are still true? I believe breakthroughs are still up ahead. And I think our faith is still very precious to God. So while people are rising up, digging their heels in and hating God, there is a passion and a fire for God that is rising up even stronger still. So we can do this, friends. We can walk. And I'm so grateful that we get to walk this walk together. I'll read some of your texts when we come back. Susie Larson here. We're titling this show today, Let's Talk. And if this works for you, let's do it again. I'll be back in a minute. Y todo va a estar bien. Everything will be all right. You're listening to an encore presentation of Susie Larson Live. Your whole world's in his hands, in the darkness, in the trials. He's faithful and he's true. Your whole world's in his hands. You don't outside of yet. Thanks so much for tuning into Susie Larson Live. You are my special guest today. Jesus is our special guest today. This is a different show today. I'm calling it Let's Talk, where you can ask questions if you'd like. I'm coming with just some thoughts on my heart as well. I've got some songs I want to play here in just a little bit. And one of the things I was saying before the show is a friend who's been on the show but also listens has said he's heard me say talk about revival. And he said, you know, you've talked about it in an optimistic way that I wonder. He said, I feel like things are going to get pretty tough and pretty dark. And I said, wow. I said, I want to make sure that I bring this message clearly and not with a passive optimism that things are just going to get better and better for us. I think things are going to get harder and harder, but more glorious, just as they did for the disciples in the book of Acts. And this listener says, I hear that same outpouring prophecy every January on TV. At the end of the year, I look back and can never see where it might have happened in our country. Next January, we'll be saying it again. This is why it's important, I think, to lean in, because God says, I'm doing something new. Do you perceive it? And I want us to have eyes to see, because it's way easy, and I say this with all due respect, friend, to get cynical, to get jaded. But God is doing a new thing in our midst. He was doing it then, and there are people in all over the world who would say, who would maybe differ from what you're saying, because they've seen souls, lost souls found and people healed and marriages restored. God is doing a new thing. And so I think we need to guard against cynicism. We need to guard against despair. We need to guard against being jaded, but also guard against narratives that create hatred in our hearts, because there are some narratives out there that are so staunch, that sound so true, that just aren't. And if it's stirring up these dividing lines in our hearts and not compassion and prayer and intercession, we need to pay attention and go, Lord, I need to step back from these hard narratives, and I want to hear What is the voice of the Lord saying? Oh, help me to understand the times and know what to do. I love this. Steve says, I feel the groundswell of revival too. It's up to us. We were born for such a time as this. And I agree wholeheartedly. So as I say, you know, we are in difficult times. So how do we navigate the times that we're in? Well, one thing I want to say is practice discipline and focus. And I would say, and this is just for me, but maybe this is helpful to you. If you start to pay attention to the ways that the enemy is able to distract you in very benign ways, you'll start to see the time that you can waste, you know, just scrolling here, looking at this there, reading this there, that ask the Lord, show me the enemy's attempts to distract me so that I'm going left to right and I'm not looking straight ahead. And help me, Father, to fix my eyes on you. So that would be the first thing, is practice discipline and focus and refuse to be entangled with thoughts and arguments that weaken you, that stir up absolute anger and hatred in you. Detangle yourself from such things and immerse yourself in God's word. And, you know, be aware of the times, but not to the degree that it's stirring up hatred and judgment and that kind of a thing. So practice discipline and focus. Also, go out of your way to show love and kindness and sow seeds of love and kindness and generosity. Practice fixing your eyes and your thoughts on Jesus and his greatness. I mean, just consider how radical it is that Jesus came to earth for us. Marvel that he saved us and that he's coming again and that all of creation groans for that day. Just imagine and worship the Lord. Pray bold, specific prayers because he hears us. He hears us. And I want to play a song for you. And this one is a little bit long, but we're going to play it anyway. It'll take us close up to the break. And it's Land of the Living by Church of the City. And the reason I want to play this one is because even though times are tough, especially because times are tough, we've got to believe that God still cares about your daughter's soccer game. He does. And it's so, to me, religious to say, why would you even care about that with what's going on in Ukraine or whatever? But you know what? He delights in every detail of your life. He knows about every hair on your head. And while it's true, we in the West can become very self-absorbed and be out of touch with the greater global kingdom story, and we ought not to be. It's also true that he cares about your life. So as we pray for revival around the world, that doesn't mean that it's beneath you to pray for your daughter's soccer game or for your lack of sleep. You know, he cares so much about your story. And I think as we start to experience God's glory and his attention to detail and his kindness in our lives, we start to impart that to others because we get a smile on our face and we say, let me tell you what God has done. He doesn't lie, and he's made some promises he intends to keep. So let's listen in. Cares about you. He loves you. His promises are true. He does not lie. So trust him for your story. Trust him for the bigger story he's writing. He is faithful. He's true. We'll be back in a minute.
You know, in Numbers 23, it says that God is not a man that he would lie, or the son of man that he would change his mind. And it goes on to encourage us in this, that if he said it, he's going to do it. If he spoke it.
This is an encore presentation of Suzy Larson Live. Hope you're having a fantastic day. Suzy Larson here. This is Suzy Larson Live. Normally, if you listen often enough, you know I've got a guest every day and I interview guests. But once in a while, I just feel the nudge to step aside and do something a little different. And today, we're calling today's show Let's Talk because there's just some things on my heart that I wanted to share, but I also wanted to know what's on your heart. If you've got questions for me, I'm going to do my best to answer them. Maybe you need prayer. We'd sure love to pray for you as well. And then I also came armed with some songs that have been really a great blessing to my heart, hoping they're a blessing to yours as well. So if you've got questions, go ahead and text them in, 877-933-2484. Also, just letting you know, I've got another book coming out. It's a little hardcover, beautiful. May His Face Shine Upon You. 90 Biblical Blessings for Mother and Child. Comes out actually the end of March, but I got some early copies along with those 10-pack of gorgeous scripture quote cards. And three of you will get those if you want to just register to win. You just text the word book to 877-933-2484. And Jennifer writes in, she said, I was wondering if you could pray for complete healing for me from Lyme, autoimmune, and all things that go with that. And boy, do I know. She says, I pray for you too, Susie. I know you're in a similar situation. Oh, Jennifer, all the things that go with it, you make such a good point. Isn't that the truth? It's such a complex, complicated, wretched disease. So it would be my great honor to pray for you. Father, I pray for Jennifer. I pray, God, that you'd pour out your spirit. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that there be an end to Lyme disease. In fact, I put the cross of Jesus Christ, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ between Jennifer and every demonic scheme to steal from her in Jesus' name. And I just command under the authority of Christ and just say that every system in her body must support life and health because she belongs to you, Lord. She dwells with you. No sickness dwells with you, and she dwells with you. So may no sickness dwell with her. I pray against any immune confusion, God, that you, her immune system would work as it should, that you'd bless her and heal her from the trauma of chronic illness, God, that she would start to feel just energy springing up and life springing up. And I pray for just wisdom for the doctors if there are any tweaks that she needs. But Lord God, we pray for an end to this disease for her and for everybody else listening today. My friend Sherry, who's battling stage 4 lung cancer, God, that she would come back with a testimony of going from terminal to absolute miraculous freedom and wholeness. God, we just pray for everybody who's sick, or everybody who's sick and tired of feeling sick and tired, everybody who's battered by their battle. I pray, oh God, that you would meet them in the most profound and miraculous way. We love you, God. We honor you. We thank you that we're going to keep praying because you are a star-breathing God. You invite us to pray, to ask, to seek, to knock, and we're not going to stop. And we want you to find faith in our hearts when you return. So may faith rise up in this hour, in Jesus' name. We pray, amen. Bless you, Jennifer, and I welcome your questions. So I want to read a passage from Isaiah, then I want to play another clip that I think, amen, Linda, no question mark there, amen, amen. This is from Isaiah 40, verses 26 to 31, and before that, well, here is just sort of context. Let me read it. It says, "Look up to the heavens. Who created all the stars? He brings them out like an army, one after another. Look up to the heavens. Who created all the stars? Who is it? It's God himself, the God who delights in every detail of your life, the God who sees corruption, the God who promises to intervene, the God who does not miss a thing and who's indifferent about nothing. In fact, that reminds me, I'm going to tell you about a dream in just a moment here. But look up to the heavens. Who created all the stars? Maybe that's where you just need to camp. If you're finding yourself with your feet in the dirt and, you know, tears in your eyes and feeling like there's no hope, there's always hope. This God, he brings out the stars like an army, one after another, calling each star by name. Because of his great power and incomparable strength, not even a single one is missing. Given that's true, how can you say, O Jacob, that the Lord does not see your troubles? Another translation is, how can you say that your way is hidden from God? Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. Listen to this. This is for you. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not get weary. They will walk and not faint. Here's another thing that I believe. It's one of the reasons I wanted to do this show, is just to share some of the things that are kind of beating in my heart these days. I believe that God wants us more than ever to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. It's one of the reasons I'm excited about our Kindness Always initiative, because we want to train our spirits to be so connected. You know, in Romans, it says his spirit speaks to our spirit, which confirms we are his children. We want to be so in tune with the nudges of the Spirit and even the winces of the Holy Spirit, that we're directed by the Spirit. And my sense, and I'm going out on a limb here, but my sense so much is that, you know, that passage, it says, you know, how do you expect to run with horses if you can't run with the footmen? Well, I think some of you have been running with the footmen and God is getting you ready to run with horses, but that's a supernatural proposition. And which means he wants to wean us off of just basing things based on what our eyes see, so that we can be fully dependent on what the Spirit says. And that's really Proverbs 3:5-6, to trust in the Lord with our whole heart and lean not on our own understanding. In all our ways, acknowledge him, and he'll make our path straight. And I just get a sense for some of you that God is saying, in the days ahead, when I give the wince, you know, kind of where you say something, you go, ooh, I probably shouldn't have said that. Or you get this check in your spirit where he's like, you know, maybe you've done that before, not today. And you start to pay attention to the direction and the correction of the Spirit of God. I submit to you, the more that you do that, the more clearly you're going to hear him. And the more clearly you hear him, the more you're going to walk in power. And there are times, you know, because of fear and exhaustion, you know, we pull back into self-preservation. And it says in this Isaiah 40 passage, even young men fall and stumble in exhaustion. But for us to move from running, you know, with the footmen to racing with the horses, we've got to somehow move into a supernatural proposition. So I'm thinking of like the disciples who were exhausted from ministering to the needs of the people all day. And the masses were so massive, so huge, that they're telling Jesus what to do. Jesus, tell them to go away. We need a rest. And he says, because he's like, these people need to eat. And Jesus says, you feed them. I submit to you that God wants to use you in ways that are so beyond you in the days ahead, but they're going to require such dependence on God, such a sensitivity to his voice, that he's maybe right now weaning you from leaning on your own understanding, or maybe he's asking you to obey him in ways that don't suit you, that don't make sense, defy your sensibilities, but he's saying, will you trust me? And these are tests, I would say, to the extent that, you know, that he wants to use you in the days ahead. You know, he wants to use you to run with the horses. He wants to use you in ways that multiply the gift of God in you and through you. So if you fix your eyes too much on the troubles, on the bad news, you are going to pull in self-preservation. Instead of stepping up to say, use me in impossible ways, you're going to cover your head and say, help me get through the day and just hang on until you return. God doesn't want us to shrink back in self-preservation. He wants us to rise up in faith, to believe him for great things. But we will fall in despair and exhaustion if we look too long at the enemy. And if we feel like we're grasshoppers, you know that story in the Old Testament. Only two of the spies came back and said, yes, this is a good land and we can surely take it. And I pray that God would help us, really, that he would move in our personal stories to such a degree that we would rise up and go, I am part of a bigger story and I trust you. And I'm not going to stop singing. I'm not going to stop worshiping. I'm not going to stop declaring that my God is who he says he is. So now I want to play this clip from Catherine Scott. It's from her album, but the male voice you hear in this clip, it's just short, is Alan Scott, her husband, but it is powerful. And I feel like it speaks to not only our need, because we're struggling, we're hurting, but the faithfulness of God and the feistiness in our own faith as we declare that God is who he says he is. Let's listen in.
We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We're so grateful for your friendship. So grateful for your friendship. What difference does singing songs make in a world of chaos? And we sing our songs in the midst of the pressures of life around your people who are going through incredible heartache and remarkable pain, but we just refuse to allow the pain to silence the song. We've decided and determined in advance that we will sing even in the middle of all that life would bring in that. We don't sing out of fantasy. We don't sing to seek to make our problems go away. We sing as those who have pursued joy, contended for joy, and been captured by joy. Our song is not a trouble-free song. Our song is in the midst of trouble that says we will not be defined by depression. We will not be defined by pain. We will not be ruled over by the voice of the enemy. But we are governed by one voice, one faith, one hope, and one Lord. And we lift up our song to him, for what else can we do? If we didn't sing, would not even the very stones around us begin to proclaim his goodness and his greatness?
Ours is not a trouble-free song. And do you feel your faith rising up when you hear the faith of another? This is why we need each other. This is why we need each other. This is why this text line, as I'm staring at it while I'm doing this show, helps me so much, because I hear what you're dealing with. I hear where you're at. You know where I'm at. This is the real zone. There's no fluff here. We're not faking it. I'm not putting on a facade for you, and you're not doing that for me either. We are in this together. We do have a very real enemy. We do have a very broken world. The people that are shouting and shaking their fist at God and embracing anti-Christ mindsets are so lost and so broken, and they will terrify us, or they will trouble us to a degree that we will get into a reactionary mode unless we're worshiping God, unless we remember Jesus reigns above it all. His name is higher than any trouble we face, than any foe that we'll ever face, than anything that comes against us. And he did not promise a trouble-free life. And so for us to go, I've got this kind of passive optimism that we're going to get back to normal someday. Normal's not coming back, but I really believe as the opposition increases, the power of God is going to become even more evident in our midst. So we've got to decide, are we serious followers of Christ? Because if we are, then we got to deal with the stuff that comes up within us. I don't know about you, but I've marveled at some of the hatred and the self-righteousness and the judgment that has happened among Christians in this last 2 years. And, you know, it is interesting that Christians are asking each other, where do you stand on this topic, this topic, this topic? Why? Because I'm going to decide whether to validate or vilify you based on where you stand. How is that biblical? You know what? Jesus gathered disciples that surely disagreed about some things. And he said, the stuff that you've come to follow me with, you're going to have to, you know, drop your constructs and find a new way. And I believe that we're entering a day of new wine, new wineskins. You know, I believe we're entering a day of miracles. I believe that those of us who are fearing God and honoring him and keeping as best we can our hearts pure before him are going to see him in a way that we've never seen him before. And I want you to be encouraged. And that's not the kind of encouragement that is passive or naive optimism, as this wonderful clip from Alan Scott. It's not a trouble-free song. As Steve said just now, he texted in, they'll know us by our love. And so every day is sparring practice, isn't it? That's the good fight of faith. Every day we got to decide, what are we going to do with the injustices that are at our fingertips, at our doorstep, on our screen? You know, because if our inputs are only making us hate more and love less, if our inputs are making us fear more and have less faith in our hearts, then we are the ones who've got to do something about it. Because as Steve said, they'll know us by our love, but we can't impart what we don't possess. But when we immerse ourselves in the love and the power of God, that Jesus would do what he did and continues to intercede on our behalf, we actually do have reason for joy. We do have reason to be generous. And the promises are still true even in these times. So the promises, if you sow kindness, you're going to reap kindness. If you sow love, you're going to reap love. If you sow generously, you're going to reap generously. So that's why I say, I believe revival's coming. I want us to look up with expectancy, but to not be disillusioned or disheartened by the darkness, because, yep, darkness covers the earth and a thick darkness the people, but the glory of the Lord is going to rise on his people. It's happening. We're seeing it. And I believe we're going to see it even more so in the days ahead. Now, I think it's the first time I've asked all hour, can somebody give me an amen? We'll be back in a minute. I don't have to search hard to find you. You're listening to an encore presentation of Susie Larson Live. You standing in miracles wherever I go. Hope you're having a great day. So fun to see all the amens. I can always count on you. Susie Larson here. That's Susie Larson Live. And normally we have a guest that I'm interviewing, a guest, but we just wanted to take a breather. I just had some things really pressing on my heart that I wanted to share. I wanted to get your feedback, and it's so appreciative to see these texts. And also giving away a few early copies of my new book, May His Face Shine Upon You. It's 90 Biblical Blessings for Mother and Child. It comes out end of March. We already got some early copies. And then the 10-pack of gorgeous quote cards. They're scenic and they're beautiful, like one I'm looking at right now. This gorgeous, you see a woman standing on a dock with a lantern, and it says, "You are not made for this world. You're only passing through. Live as the divinely loved and called soul you are." So anyway, I got three packs, book and card packs for three of you. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. So we've been talking about just the idea of, what does revival mean? What about the times that we're in? What does God require of us? So what does it even mean to fight the good fight of faith? And, you know, if we look around and let ourselves get so despairing of the times, we lose sight of the promises of God. If we look around and listen to the news that is so filled with fear and rhetoric that we lose faith, we've got to change our inputs. And so that's why I just think it's so important more than ever to keep ourselves on the path of his promises. And what I mean by that is to say, you know, if we drift to over to this path or wander to this path of cynicism, of being jaded, of judgment, you know, God's promises are still true. The earth is packed with his promises, but there's something about being positioned before him, which means we fear God. We walk in his ways. We trust him and say, fearing you means, Lord, I know you're going to do what you say you're going to do, so I'm going to do what you tell me to do. And I want to read a passage from Psalm 112 that Kevin and I read over and over again, because it just reminds us that though the devil has a plan, God has made promises. And we love this because we want to model our lives by this chapter, Psalm 112. How it says, "Praise the Lord. How joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying his commands. Their children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed." I mean, look at the ripple effect of people who fear God, how it passes down through the generations. They themselves will be wealthy and their good deeds will last forever. Light shines in the darkness for the godly. Listen to this. They're generous, compassionate, and righteous. Good comes to those who lend money generously and conduct their business fairly. Such people will not be overcome by evil. Those who are righteous will be long remembered. They do not fear bad news. They confidently trust the Lord to care for them. They're confident and fearless. So they fear God. They walk with him. They conduct their business fairly to the point that, you know what? I live under the promises of God. I trust him to vindicate, defend, and deliver me. That doesn't mean I'm going to have a problem-free life. But in the end, ultimately, God will be my deliverer, my defender, and I can count on him. So I'm not going to brace for impact and live constantly fearing bad news, because I'm going to confidently trust the Lord to care for me. Listen to this. They're confident and fearless. They can face their foes triumphantly. And here again, you see generosity. They share freely and give generously to those in need. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. They will have influence and honor. And what's the enemy's response? Well, the wicked will see this and be infuriated. They will grind their teeth in anger, and they'll slink away and their hopes thwarted. So in other words, the enemy wants to give us TMJ, make us clench our teeth at night in fear and worry. But we're going to give the enemy TMJ, because as we live in the fear of God, as we live joyful, honorable lives and conduct our business fairly and live generously, the enemy's plans and schemes come to nothing. I want you to picture you dwelling in the land, feeding on God's faithfulness, tasting and seeing he's good, being joyful, you know, counting your blessings and attributing every one of them to a good, good God, and opening your eyes to all the ways he's moving around you. I'm telling you what, joy will strengthen you. Your eyes will start to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And as you do that, you're going to say, yeah, I'm the richest person alive. I mean, I lack no good thing. I'm honoring God. He's taking care of me. Again, this doesn't mean a trouble-free life, but it's a life filled and surrounded by the promises of God. When you do that, I want you to picture your life just dwelling in the land, feeding on his faithfulness, and all these schemes against you, just the enemy falling into his own traps left and right, and you're completely oblivious. But you don't know. He's shrinking away back into the shadows, grinding his teeth because his plan against you came to nothing. Wow, I want to live that way. I want to live not obsessed with what the enemy's doing, but completely fixated on what God is doing, because this is not an equal fight, you know? God has no rivals. And so when it's all been said and done, I want to have lived as ones who are spoken for, and which means I want to navigate my trials with a humility and a teachability and a trust that God is still good, that I don't want his goodness to be up for grabs just because in the moment he's not giving me what I want. He's good because he's good, and he's proven himself time and time again. So I want to be found faithful, because it's just, life on earth is short. You hear me say this all the time, but eternity is long. And every trial, every blessing, every open door, every closed door has eternal implications. How you respond to those things reaps eternity, eternal rewards. And so may we respond as people who trust the God of the breakthrough. I want you to hear a song from Robin Mark. I want to have this song at my funeral. And I know that sounds kind of, but I just do. I pray that you can lean in and listen. It's powerful. Let's listen in.
When it's all been said and done, there is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life for you? And when it's all been said and done, all my treasures will mean nothing. Only what I've done for love's reward will stand the test of time. Lord, your mercy is so great that you look beyond our weakness and find purest gold and miry clay, making sinners into saints. Here on earth and ever after, for you've shown me heaven's my true home. When it's all been said and done, you're my life when life is done. When it's all been said and done, there is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life for you? Lord, I live my life.
Don't you love that song? Well, I sure pray you found some encouragement here today. Again, it's such a great honor to do this journey with you, and I always want so much to point you upward. I pray that that happened today. We have reason for hope, friends. These are trying times. We're not going to put our head in the sand and pretend they're not. We're also not going to numb ourselves out so we don't have to feel, because you have to feel it to heal it. There's things that God wants to heal in you so he can heal through you. I want us to live with a holy expectancy that though the darkness is coming in, the light is breaking forth. Amen. Amen. Pray you have a really, really great day. And if there are questions you wanted to send and you want me to answer on a future show, please don't hesitate to email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com, or just text them here. We love and appreciate you, and we will meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this Susie Larson Live podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter today at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the show, you can subscribe to the podcast now at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Thanks for listening to Susie Larson Live.